السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. And I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help, for his protection, for his mercy, for his blessings, for his sustenance, and for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with, both in this life and in the hereafter. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful individuals, both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. As we come together, and whenever we begin, whatever it is that we begin, we are reminded that we begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever any great matter is begun, it should begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most simplest of ways in which we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we do anything is we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which is a verse of the Qur'an, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. And then there are times when we begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we don't say the entire Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we at least begin by saying Bismillah in the name of Allah. And even if at that point in time we don't say in the name of Allah in Arabic, we in our hearts and minds we pray, we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we say that I begin in the name of Allah, or O Allah, put barakah or blessings in this, O Allah, make this easy for me. In other words, we invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We specifically invoke Allah by His name subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as believers, we have the firm conviction in our minds and hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control over all things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has might and power over everything, both in this life and in the hereafter. And that is why we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our creator. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our sustainer. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our protector. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one being most wise. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one being most merciful. There's different ways we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply said, every single individual thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most unique of all ways. One, let's just take for example, an individual is asked, let's just say you're walking down the street, or you're driving your child to school in the morning, and your child asks you, my dear father, oh my dear mother, what is Allah? Who is Allah? What is an answer that we will have for that child of ours? If someone asks you down the street, if someone asks you at work, who do you worship? You say God, say Allah. They ask you, what is Allah? When you think of Allah in your mind and in your heart, what do you think of? What is it that goes through your mind and heart? Now before we come to the answer of that, another very simple question can be asked. That you call yourself a believer, you call yourself a mu'min, you call yourself a Muslim. What does that define? When you say that I'm a Muslim, what do you mean? Right? When you say you're a mu'min, when you say you're a believer, you believe in Allah, you believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it? What is your set of beliefs? And we've been taught our set of beliefs, and we remember the saying, آمنتُ, I bring iman, I bring faith, آمنتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. That there's seven things I believe in. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in His angels. I believe in His books. I believe in His messengers. I believe in decree, divine decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the hereafter. I believe in the day of judgment. So when someone asks you, what are you? And you reply by saying, I'm a Muslim or I'm a believer. I believe in the message of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what it means. that there's certain things that I believe in. Take the concept of Allah, our sustainer, our creator, who provides us. When we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that, how is it that we define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined Himself in the Qur'an by mentioning certain names, as we may call it, or certain attributes and qualities, as we may refer them to. And in the verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِقُ. The most, He, هُوَ اللَّهُ. He is Allah. That is an answer to another question that people may ask and say, that why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to as He? Right? Why is God, many people ask this question, why is Allah referred to as He? The simplest answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself refers to Himself in the Qur'an as He, Huwa. He, Huwa Allah, He is Allah. There are certain matters in our faith that are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether we understand them or not, whether we have the mental capacity to understand them or not, they are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not right or wrong because we're able to understand them as right or wrong. They are right or wrong because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them right or wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need for our comprehension. Allah does not need for us to comprehend to make something right or wrong. Because our comprehension only reaches a certain level. Right? Our comprehension as human beings only reaches a certain level. That is the difference between the Creator and the creation. If we would have understood every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would have had the wisdom to understand everything, then there would have been no difference between the Creator and the creation. And there has to be a difference between the Creator and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's a very subtle thing that we need to understand. There are certain things decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, why is it, people ask, that a non-Muslim cannot enter Mecca and Medina? A person who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not believe in the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cannot enter Mecca and Medina. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that in the Qur'an. That may approve to your logic, and it may not approve to your logic, but that is the divine decree and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is iman. That is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is believing in the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we have been promised Jannah, paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, man ahsaha, and in this hadith, ahsaha is translated as, whosoever memorizes them will enter Jannah. Whosoever memorizes the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter Jannah. Now there's a few things that we understand. There's another ayah of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the beautiful names, فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by those names. The scholars have gone on to mention that if anyone invokes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and uses and remembers the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fulfill the need of that individual. There is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fulfill the need of that individual. There is an individual in our community, and I must have mentioned this somewhere. After I mentioned this, he went ahead to memorize the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, among the many other things that I do on my way to work in the morning, I invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning and by reciting the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a few names. 99 names is not that difficult. And many of us, over a period of the last so many years, we've been hearing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either while we're in our salat, or while we are going through certain CDs. We know, we already possibly know half of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may take a little more effort to memorize the rest, but every time we invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using those names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill our need. But I still haven't answered that question. What or who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every individual in a unique and different manner. And every human being, believer or otherwise, goes through a different situation in their life. Some days we may be happy, some days we may be sad. Some days we may have wealth, some days we may be in need. Some days we may feel safe, and on other days we may not feel safe. Some days we will have everything that we want, and on other days there may be things that we need. Right? Our conditions fluctuate. They go up and down. Some days are good and some days are not so good. As human beings, when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it usually refers to the situation that we are in. You know, when we say Allah, just recite the word Allah. I say Allah. What does Allah mean to an individual? A person who is in need of a job, a person who is in need of sustenance, he will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or she will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides an individual. A person may be going through some difficulty, and that person may be in fear of something or someone. That person will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the protector. A person may be in need of something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That individual will think of Allah as the most merciful. And this is not only with Muslims. This is whether you are Muslim or otherwise. But we think of God. The typical word we use for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in English is God. When we use the word God, go up to any individual and ask them, what does God mean to you? And it's very possible that we might have not had an answer to that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of mercy, defined that for us and mentioned 99 names for us. That when you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will remember Him in more ways than one, but it's very possible that you may remember Him by thinking of one of these 99 names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why, in addition to memorizing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is incumbent that when we have a moment, maybe after we finish Jum'ah today and go back to work, go online and do a Google search or find a book at home and go through the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arabic and in English. See how you, every individual, associates themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is it that you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yourself close to? There will be certain attributes of Allah you will find yourself closer to. This is how we define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are able to understand Allah, and an individual talks to us about religion, or talks to us about our faith, or talks to us about God, or uses the word God or Allah in their sentence, we are able to relate back to that quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which I as an individual remember Him more than another individual. And the reason I even mention this is because a week ago, I happened to be in the hospital early in the morning, and I had my MP3 player, and I was going through, you know, obviously the various different tracks as we were going through. One of them just kept on saying Allah, Allah, in a very beautiful way. You know, it was a melodious way, but the only thing that was being mentioned is the word Allah, you know, in a very melodious manner. And for a second, you know, a lot of times when we have our MP3 players, whatever it is that we're listening to, we happen to be doing other things as well, whether it be, you know, being online or looking around or whatever it is. There's various different things that we do. But for a moment, I just stopped dead in my tracks. And I asked myself, as an individual, what does Allah mean to me? Right? When I say the word Allah, When I invoke Him, when I go into my ruku' and say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, or when I go into sujood and I say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, I'm thinking, Rabbi of my Lord, Rabb, my sustainer. What is it that I'm thinking of? How do I want Allah to be in my life? And how is it that although I don't realize, Allah happens to be in my life? A lot of times we don't realize. A lot of times we only think of Allah when we are in a certain need and when we have something we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An individual should not feel guilty at times like that. Because Allah is for every individual, whether that individual is in need or not. Sometimes when we are in need and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaitan deceives us and reminds us and says, how will Allah fulfill your need when you turn to Him only in times of need? But believe it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes puts us in need so that we turn to Him. So one should never feel guilty. But when we go through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that Allah is closer to us than it may seem to us. We will find that we will be able to associate ourselves more with Allah than we had before we understood the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm not saying in any way, form or manner that we don't know the names and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I am saying that as human beings, sometimes we tend to forget. Sometimes as human beings, we tend to forget the miraculous ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens to be in our life. And when we go through these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that we are more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than it may seem to us, and Allah is more closer to us than it may seem to us. That is why, so important. That is exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an that the beautiful names belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you remember, when you invoke Allah, invoke Him by these names. And that is why we are reminded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, and when we invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using those names. That is how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our faith, our deen, our way of life is a very practical way of life. It's a very logical way of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so many things easy, open and clear for us. Right? There's no way a human being, a believer or otherwise, could ever understand Allah. Right, could understand the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator. It's two different worlds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us so that we may think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We may think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I guarantee you that every single one of us, we have moments in our lives and in different ways we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we're thankful and we think of that quality of Allah of being thankful. Sometimes we are, like I mentioned, we are in need. We're in need, and we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, every moment of our lives, happy, sad, good, bad, whatever it may be, Allah is there for us. That is the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is present for us as long as we do the job of remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we do the job of invoking Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the caretaker of all of our affairs. As soon as we realize that and we brought that into our minds and hearts, our lives would become successful. In Islam, in our faith, in our way of life, we are taught to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and indirectly. And one thing I would like to mention before we finish, that do not forget, these are the names of Allah. We need to memorize them. We need to ponder over them and see where it is where we find Allah in our lives. But at the same time, we come to a weekend in which our neighbors, our friends around us happen to remember this holiday called Mother's Day. I happen to be an individual who does not like this holiday very much. Right? And now you know, I don't. I'm not very fond of Mother's Day. Because what we are being taught is that we remember our mother once a year. That is the subtle message inside all of this, that we are taught to shower our mother with a gift or gifts or a dinner or a large lunch once a year. Right? Think of this one day in which we remember our mother. That's the one day we dedicate to our mother, and we fly across the country for our mother on that one day. And then there happens to be a day called Father's Day, if I'm not mistaken, that comes up in the next few weeks, and we happen to remember our father on that one very day. Islam teaches us to remember our mothers and our fathers every single day of our lives, whether alive or deceased. If they are alive, we should make a point to call them every day. We should make it a point to, wherever they may live, to call them every day, whether it be for a few minutes. Just ask them how they are doing, and if there is anything that they need that you could fulfill. If for some reason we happen to be at a point in our lives where our relationships with our parents are not the best of relationships, we need to mend those relationships immediately. There is no way any individual can even think of paradise if your relationship with our parents happened to be not in the best of ways it should be. Never mind going into Jannah, don't even think of going into Jannah. There is no way you will succeed. Our mother's days and our father's days are every day of our life. Whether our parents are Muslim or otherwise, whether our parents happen to be Muslim or otherwise, we should be present for our parents every single day. And if you want to have a special day during the course of the year where you shower your mother with gifts, don't do it on Mother's Day. Don't do it on Mother's Day. Do it on any other day. Because the subtle message that you're providing to your children and those around you is that, yes, I'm going to give my mother a gift on this day. Do it on this day as well, but don't just, you know, make it special for this day. Do it on other days as well. That is one thing we need to remember. We need to make sure that we remember our parents every single days of our lives. If they are alive, call them. If they are deceased, make dua maghfirah for them. If our parents have passed away and left this dunya, then we should remember them in our du'as every single day. That is why the Prophet ﷺ is narrated to have said that if an individual's parents have passed away, and that individual's parents have passed away in a state where his parents or her parents were not happy at the time of death with that individual, then a person should daily make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Oh Allah, have mercy upon both of my parents as they had mercy upon me when I was growing up. Now this is a dua, this is an invocation we should make every day of our lives, whether our parents are alive or not. But if they are deceased and they left this dunya in a state where they were not happy with us, then it is even more incumbent that we recite this supplication every day. The Prophet ﷺ says that maybe by the acceptance of this supplication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will meet our parents on the day of judgment, that they will be happy with us. It is possible that they may be happy with us. So let us think of that. You know, let us think of that. Because many a time because of our surroundings, we happen to remember our mothers and our fathers on this one specific day. And although we're not telling our children anything, they're looking at us. And it just may happen that they will specify just this one day for us when we grow older. Whereas Islam does not teach that. Islam teaches that a Mother's Day and Father's Day is every single day of our lives. That is one thing that is very important. Whenever our parents call upon us, day or night, Mother's Day, Father's Day or otherwise, we should be there for them. We should be there for our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill our needs. There are many Muslims, many brothers and sisters going through medical treatments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a complete and full recovery. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill the needs of needy Muslims. And there are many young Muslims who are trying to get married. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them suitable partners both for this life and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill our needs. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Bi rahmatiki ya arhamar rahimeen.